and welcome
to my favorite murder,
the minisode.
The minisode. Wow, my hair is standing up straight.
I mean, it's core hair,
it's
for sure.
Definitely.
And that is, I say that as someone with wet 70s guy hair right now. I always take a shower just perfectly, not in enough time to blow dry my hair when we get on Zoom.
So
it's
then
my
it
favorite thing to do.
Dries terribly. And
nice and frizzy on the bottom, kind of a triangle. I need a haircut so bad.
Oh, me too. We read you your emails here and your stories, and they're about pretty much anything at this point. Biden,
ball pits,
celebrity sightings,
the dumps,
the haunted houses,
things in walls,
right? Murders.
We got it all. Do you want to go first this week?
Sure. Okay. Speaking of biting, I'm not going to read you the subject. Hi, Karen and Georgia. Longtime fan here. A while back, you asked for biting stories. And that's B-I-T-I-N-G, like bite.
Well, not Joe Biden.
Not Joe Biden. Well, gee, do I have one for you. During my freshman year of high school, my church youth group would play games of tag at night in the completely dark and creepy church building.
Sexy.
Uh-huh. If this sounds like a bad idea, it most definitely was. One of these nights, I volunteered to be it. Completely out of character for me, the girl who would feign injuries to get out of playing kickball. Do you know that I once went to like the high school for like a semester of for bad kids, and PE was literally ping pong?
What?
So, which
rules.
Is why I'm kind of good at ping pong, is because I was a juvenile delinquent.
Hell yes. And they finally picked something kids want to actually spend their time doing and getting good at.
They had that in the smoking section in the 90s, which you didn't have anymore. It was pretty.
You're just like, what up?
That's cool.
That's the life.
I'll do medial math. What's it called? Okay. Completely out of character. Blah, 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 blah. But you know, I was feeling adventurous, AKA I wanted to impress my church crush. And nothing says hot, single, and ready to mingle like what happens next.
Oh.
Anyways, the game has started. I'm doing okay. I've tagged a few people. I'm feeling good about myself when I see one of my friends running up the aisles of the church sanctuary. I've decided they're next. They're pretty far ahead of me, but I'm running full speed and gaining ground when suddenly they come to a complete stop. It's too late for me, though. I'm committed. I'm airborne. I'm crashing into him. My mouth collides with the back of his head. Suddenly, I'm on the ground and something doesn't feel right. I think there's something floating in my mouth. Then it registers. It's my front tooth, root and all.
Ooh.
I'm inconsolable as my best friend leads me to the bathroom to assess the damage. And the boy I crashed into follows, apologizing profusely. I repeatedly tell him, probably not super coherently, considering my newly acquired lisp. Oh, let me try it. You knocked my tooth out. You knocked my tooth. My in-shock self had no mercy. By this point, someone had found my older brother, who drives me to the emergency room where they spend a ridiculous amount of time trying to shove my tooth back in the socket.
Ew.
Which is about as fun as it sounds. Spoiler, it doesn't work, and I will eventually have to get fake front teeth. After I get home later that night with one less tooth than I started the evening with, to my embarrassment and horror, I find out through my completely full text inbox, oh my God, am I popular now, that when I collided with this kid, I must have had my mouth open because he has a cut from my teeth on the back of his head and a concussion. But who really cares about them when you've essentially bit someone? Thankfully, he didn't care and even brought me flowers the next day to apologize to me. I didn't get him anything to apologize for my small foray into vampirism. But personally, I think my having to walk around missing a front tooth for a week at the already awkward age of 15 was probably apology enough.
Oof.
Anyway, that's my biting story. Thanks, ladies, for all you do. Your podcast brings some much needed levity to my days. I tend to listen while I'm at work, and I'm sure some people are confused as to why I'm laughing to myself behind my mask. And remember, stay sexy and don't get murdered. And if you're ever playing tag, keep that mouth shut, Jamie.
That's how hard Jamie was running up that aisle.
Woo, dedicated.
But can I just ask, and maybe I just missed this, Was it her crush he ended up biting?
It sounded
or just a random guy?
Like it, but I think it was just a random guy. And I'm sure either way.
But the crush was probably nearby.
The crush probably stopped to gawk. Yeah.
Losing a tooth is pretty intense.
An adult tooth. Shit.
Yeah, that was she wasn't in third grade.
No, exactly. Hopefully the teeth that she, fake teeth, looked better than the original.
Yeah.
It's all you can
What if she
for.
Just got her braces off a week before?
That's out of a teen movie or something.
I told you about the time I was super drunk on tequila shots at the rap party for Shakespeare in the Park, which the party was in the park. And my friends were like, come down here. And I started running between two sets of benches and were like, basically built up all this steam between running and then ended up flipping over the bench. And when I sat up, I spit out like a perfect divot of grass that was like a retainer shape. Because when I fell, my teeth went into the dirt.
You're so lucky it wasn't like hard pavement.
That was the last time I drank tequila, and it was in 1991,
That's
I think.
The smartest thing you could have given up.
It's the worst fucking...
Truly.
Don't fall for the tequila, promise.
The tequila promise is you won't gain as much weight because there's not as much... There's some, thing about... It's in a keto or, there's some diet that's like, you can drink tequila, mm-hmm. right? And then it's also, a cleaner... Whatever. It's fucking... It's still legitimately poison.
I disagree that it's clean. Yeah. I think it causes so many more problems than fun.
Yeah, whether or not
something, it's like a psychedelic almost.
Yeah,
where it's different than normal drunks.
It is.
It you go crazy.
Stick with vodka, everyone, if you're gonna drink.
Please.
High, not the bottom of the barrel vodka too.
Brought to you by Smirnoff. This is my dad's Night Stalker story.
Ooh.
Hello, MFM fam. I finally have a story to submit to you. I was recently talking to my dad about the Netflix Night Stalker series when he, which was amazing, by the
amazing
editorial opinions of us, when he casually slipped into the conversation. Did I ever tell you about my Night Stalker story? What?
What?
So my parents met in Los Angeles and lived there around the time that the Night Stalker was active and terrorizing the city. In the midst of this, my folks decided to pick up and move to San Francisco and had just settled into their new home when, wouldn't you know it, suddenly it was reported that the Night Stalker was running around San Francisco instead of LA. I'll never forget it. Never forget it.
Oh my God.
The Night Stalker migrated north.
You guys must have been like, everyone, he's coming to our house.
Yes, every person. They were like, the rumor that first that I remember going around was he kills people in yellow houses. Then it was people in white houses. Then it was like you had to know certain people to know what the color of the house was. It because I think we've talked about this before, but we watched it happening in LA very that's horrible for them. Then it came fucking right into the, I mean, it's such, that story is unbelievable.
I want to see everyone painting their house magenta, but everyone in Daly City was safe because that's the city that Little Boxes, the song
Little Boxes,
on the outside.
Little Boxes.
Okay. Look that song up. It's amazing.
There's a red one and a green one. My dad sings that every time we're on that freeway.
Oh, I love that.
Okay.
What?
Where'd we go?
I don't know.
My parents understood that the Night Stalker's MO meant anybody could be his next target. So my dad took up a new routine of casing the house every night before going to bed to double and triple check that all the doors and windows were locked and that the house was secure. Fine. Mm-hmm, good. Mm-hmm. Work it out. At this time, my parents had a German short-haired pointer named Faust, who by all accounts was just about the most perfect dog ever to exist. Steven, will you pull up a picture of a German short-haired pointer so we can get a visual on this?
I have no idea what that is.
German short-haired pointer, yeah. Faust.
Sounds perfect.
But one night in the wee hours when everyone was fast asleep, Faust started barking up a storm.
Oh my God.
My dad jumped out of bed, grabbed a baseball bat, and made his way downstairs to find Faust growling by the front door with his hackles raised. With his adrenaline pumping, my dad started making his way throughout the house, looking for signs of a break-in. He found that all of the doors and windows were still locked and didn't seem to have been tampered with, so he opened the front door to take a look outside when he noticed something sitting on their doorstep.
Hold on, Steven's got a picture. Bring it closer.
Here we go.
Bring it closer.
Oh, yeah, those guys.
Gorgeous.
It's basically, it's what you think of when you think of a duck hunting dog is a German short hair pointer. Right?
It doesn't look like a German shepherd at all. It's like a hound. It's definitely a hound.
It's just a German version of a hound. Correct.
It's got those pointing German version. I love those dogs.
They're so cute.
Yeah.
Aww. Those are dogs that like to have a job. Those are dogs that need to go do things for you.
Oh, like go to office every day. And
they want to earn a living right. to bring home the bacon for you.
You got those Excel spreadsheets aren't going to spread themselves.
The dog just deleting entire Excel spreadsheets with a paw. Okay, so I'll reread that part. So he opened the front door to take a look outside when he noticed something sitting on their doorstep. It was a newspaper. Since my parents had just moved to the area, they've signed up for a newspaper subscription. My dad had forgotten that their deliveries would be that very morning.
I thought it was like a calling card. I was like, a newspaper.
Right.
It's so sinister.
The unexpected visitor that came by and freaked out the dog and my parents was none other than the paper delivery man. Aww. I'm always talking about true crime with my mom and my aunt, but I rarely have these kinds of conversations with my dad. He's the sort of person who prefers not to tell tragic and terrifying stories unless he can point out a silver lining or wrap you up in a hug afterwards.
Oh,
we get it, Dad. Thank you for continuing to feed my true crime addiction and for providing a reason to laugh for so many throughout this hellscape that is COVID. MFM and the Exactly Right Network is really getting me through it lately.
Oh my God.
Stay sexy and just sign up for an online newspaper subscription instead, Ellen.
I love that. And I love these stories of like people's kids finally asking them about their lives. Cause you know, we're all like so self-centered. And then suddenly like your parents have these stories, these untapped stories that no one's ever asked them about. I feel like that's a thing of our podcast that I really love. And I've, you know, it's with my dad too. It's just like, it's really lovely.
It's great.
Yeah. Especially dads who are like usually the strong silent, those of us who have the strong silent type dads.
Yeah. The dads from the 60s can't come out and be like, honey, I was so scared and alone. Like that's never going to happen. God.
Yeah. You're not going to believe this. Totally. Okay. Old school in car entertainment pays off.
Mm.
To whom it may concern. When I was a child, I would get bored while riding in the car. This was a, quote, few years ago. So when we went places in a car, our entertainment was mostly limited to looking out the window or fighting with my siblings. Amen.
What? Can I just say?
Remember when they came out with DVD players in the back of fucking headrests in the back seat?
I'm telling you
Fuck you.
You're so spoiled. You have no idea. My friend Lisa told me this when we were in high school, but she did it when she was a kid. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, it stuck in my head and it made me laugh so hard. Lisa Lanyon, SVH, class of 88. She said she used to stare out the window because her older sister was a lot older than her. Yeah. So she was kind of like an only child a lot of her life. Yeah. She would stare out the window and picture an invisible horse running along through the fields as they drove by. So she would make the horse like jump the fences and go through the trees and stuff like that, and she pictured this like a wild horse running alongside the car.
What does she do now? Because that's such a great imagination.
She works with horses. She always has. She's an amazing artist and painter.
Aww.
She does a lot of things, but I believe the last time that I heard from her, this was like a Facebook old time Facebook. Yeah. So it was a long time ago, but she was working with horses.
That is beautiful.
Isn't that the best? But it makes me laugh because it's such a specific, like, talk about having to get creative with your boredom.
Truly. Like, you guys don't even know. Okay. I never thought to learn about cars themselves, and I'm still horrible at recognizing make, model, color, but numbers seem to stick in my head, so I started memorizing license plates. Every trip, I would memorize as many plates as I could, and I loved seeing how the same cars would pass you and then show up next to you at a light only to pass you again. Don't speed, you guys. You're not going anywhere faster.
Yeah, exactly. Just
says the girl who's a fucking race car driver. Telling you. As I got older and learned to drive, I had to pay attention to the actual road, but I still habitually memorized the plates of anyone driving, quote, suspiciously. I believe this was fairly random teenager criteria consisting of driving too slow, stopping too long at lights and stop signs, and driving a super nice car in my middle class neighborhood. Because those rich people surely must have been up to something. Eventually in college, I started driving on the highway a lot, and my criteria settled into people who cut in and out me and tailgaters. not me, which is when my weird habit finally paid off. I was visiting my parents. This is the best line I've ever heard in a letter. I was visiting my parents' washer and dryer.
Honest. Uh-huh. Yes.
One weekend, and stopped at a gas station before I hit the road to head back to school. When I went to walk inside to pay, holy crap, the realization that this was before pay at the pump just made me feel so old. At any rate, when I went inside the store, there was a car sitting out front. A running car in front of a gas station really shouldn't seem that odd. And a gas station that is a block from the police station should be extra safe. You can literally see the police station from the parking lot.
But a lot of shoulds in those sentences. A lot of shoulds. You're setting yourself up for sadness.
You can should all over the place.
You have should all over this gas station.
You should your pants.
And it's not going to pay off.
You should your pants. But something triggered my habit. And without thinking, I memorized the plate number.
Nice.
Just as I walked in, I was bowled over by a man running out of the station and hopping in the passenger side as the car sped off. Someone had just robbed the gas station. Just after him, a teller ran out trying to get the car's information. I walked in, asked the other clerk if he wanted the plate number, wrote it down, paid, walked out, and hit the road.
Blew the smoke off both my guns, put them back into my holster, got into my truck.
That's fucking right. Lit a strike anywhere match on my belt buckle.
Later. Rolled a cigarette with one hand, threw it up in the air, caught it like Bugs Bunny.
Oddly, I have almost never remembered a license plate number since.
Oh, that was the big, it was like the rehearsal and the performance.
You shit all over the place and then you did your duty.
And then boom!
Hey! My random habit found its one useful instance and I moved on, I guess. And that's it. There's no fucking, I can't tell Emily or whoever how great of a fucking hometown that was.
They just bailed right out of that letter with no wrap it up vibe.
Because that's who they are. They left and they blew out their guns. At
they're
the end
just
of this
like,
letter.
They Irish goodbyed out an email. That's how cool that person is.
Oh my God.
Thanks. Thanks for even stopping by. Listen,
probably Emily. That was amazing.
Probably Emily. Okay. This one feels sensitive to me.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is it's an email that's based in earthquakes. So we're going to say that this took place in California, and that's as specific as I'm going to be.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm going to say I'm going to replace all the other city place names with the phrase such and such.
Okay. Okay.
Hello, pets and Karen, Georgia and S man.
The first. I love it. Steven!
I'm sorry. The S-Man.
S-Man.
The new
S-Man!
Oh, the S-Man.
I just scared Mimi. Bye. Sorry.
Karen, George, and the S-Man is our 70s sitcom. I'm currently writing from the car as I cross the such and such bridge with my family.
Okay.
Yay for family vacations. As we are bumping along and while I'm staring down at the water, imagining what it would feel like to jump off, parentheses, not suicidal, just curious, my mom casually brings up the time her family thought her uncle such and such died in the such and such freeway collapse during the 1989.
This is complicated.
San Francisco earthquake.
Oh, I know all these details. Okay.
So sorry, I can be as specific as San Francisco.
Yeah.
Because everyone knows the 1989 San Francisco earthquake.
Of course.
For those who don't know, and this is, we're back in the email.
Okay.
In 1989 earthquake here in the Bay was a 6.9 magnitude quake that rattled the area during the World Series. It killed roughly 60 to 70 people and had a massive financial impact on the Bay Area. Now this is in quotes. Yes, we all thought Uncle such and such died. He was a such and such on his way to work. And after the quake happened, no one was able to reach him. Mm-hmm. We basically planned out his funeral and had come to terms with his death, my mom says. Which I thought wouldn't have been as interesting, but since we're coming home from a family reunion where I, in all caps, literally just saw Uncle such and such, I knew there was more to this story. Basically, my uncle isn't answering his cell phone because he snuck off to a different country with a new and secret girlfriend after his divorce.
Damn.
he was new to the cell phone scene and didn't have enough minutes on his phone for international international calls, so he left the phone at home. Upon his return, he didn't have any missing messages or calls. Needless to say, my mom's family was shocked when he showed up the following month for dinner with a new woman, completely unaware that they had a grave picked out for him.
Oh my God.
Today, my uncle is as carefree as ever. He still denies that it was a, quote, girlfriend he took to a different country. As for my mom, I asked her what she did during the earthquake. And since her and my dad were living in the Bay Area during that time as newlyweds, my mom, the badass woman that she is, handed out shots of Patron and vodka to her neighbors to, quote, calm their nerves while the ground rumbled.
Patron.
Ugh.
That's okay.
That's tequila. In an earthquake, post-earthquake,
yeah.
In San Francisco, the world has crumbled around you. She was doing God's work on the street that night.
We were in Southern California and felt it mildly and then watched the news. I was in third grade. It was terrifying for you. It must have been that.
Sacramento. Yeah. I was in Sacramento, freshman in college, and we were on the second story of a building at Sac State, and it felt like God had picked up the floor and snapped it out like a sheet. The whole room rumbled like a big roll.
Yeah,
it was one of the weirdest feelings I've ever felt. It was totally different, and it was completely an aftershock because Sacramento is 2 hours away from San Francisco.
The crazy thing is, I feel like nowadays all the earthquakes in California have been at night, which is almost like a blessing, because during the day when everyone's out and about, it's so there's so much more damage, it feels like.
So much screaming, ladies with babies.
Help!
I'm thinking of the movie Earthquake. Sorry. Stay sexy and always avoid earthquakes by going to Jamaica with your secret lover, Emma.
Yeah. You know, whenever we travel for live shows, I'm like, okay, let the earthquake happen now that we're out of town.
Nice.
Is that terrible?
Just light the match and throw it behind you as you travel off.
Okay. Oh my God, what if there's an earthquake tonight?
There was one the other day.
I know.
There's been a swarm, as they call them.
I slept through it. Okay. Here is a retro meet cute. Salutations, MFM fam. You asked for meet cutes, and my parents, Vaughn and Francis, have the best one. It's Colorado, 1973, and my grandma Betty, whose Glaswegian accent was so strong, by the way, my friends often thought she was speaking a different language.
That's what it's like. Glasgow specifically, it is when it's like, that is an accent that you need to hear for a while. You need to be immersed in.
I could just see you just furrowing your brow the entire time trying to catch.
It was always a big fake smile going, what? Sorry. Hey, wait, sorry. One more time. I'm sorry.
The local what? Okay. Was at her local watering hole. This is the grandma. She met a nice fella who she thought might make a good match for her daughter. Is it weird that my grandma was picking up men for her 17-year-old daughter in a bar? It is, but you know, the 70s. So she gives this man, who I think was inappropriately in his early 30s, my mother Francis's number. 17-year-old's number.
17.
Uh-huh. And he invites her to a party with him, mostly attended by his coworkers. While at the party, which I'm sure was a great first date for my introverted mom, she notices a super handsome fella. In fact, all the girls were noticing this super handsome fella. Spoiler alert, it was my dad, who was a more age-appropriate 21 years old. My mom saw this guy and knew he was meant for her. So she inserted her super shy self into the gaggle of gals surrounding my dad and tried to make an impression. But what about her date, you ask? Well, she knew she had to play it cool, so she waited to make her move. Luckily, my dad was leaving the party at the same time as them, so sly like a fox, my mom slipped her number into my dad's hand on the way to their car. I've fucking done this before. I did it way more obviously. Just like put out my arm in the most dramatic gesture.
Wow. Yeah. And was the person like, did they call you?
Oh, yeah. I had met him nice. Before, but yeah, for sure.
That's a cool move. That's a power move.
Yeah, in front of a bunch of fucking people, too. It was like, you're going to call me. What's up?
First, you look over your shoulder and you go, watch this shit. And then you hand it.
Hey, check this out. And he'll date me.
Everybody, look.
Without her date being the wiser. She had never done anything like that before, but says she knew she couldn't let this man get away. She waited on pins and needles all night and barely slept, but she needn't have worried as my dad called her first thing the next morning to ask her out.
Oh,
the real kicker.
First thing.
I know. Oh. The real kicker. My mom's date was, you guessed it, my dad's boss. Because remember, it was a work party.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Oh, no.
He won't come out and say he got fired over this, but it wasn't long before he, quote, no longer worked there. That's actionable these days. Anyways, but it gets worse. Part of the reason my mom had no trouble getting my dad to call her was that he had seen her in a Burger King 2 weeks earlier and noticed how smoking she was. And then it says the most glorious long 70s hair and bell bottom clad legs up to her neck. That sounds real creepy. He recognized her at the party and was secretly thrilled when she slipped him her number. My parents have been happily married for 45 years on April 22nd, 2021, and they have been a truly inspirational role model of what a marriage can be. I can't wait till we are all vaccinated so I can visit them wherever it is they happen to be parked in their big ass RV they roam the country in together, living the dream. Also, shout out to my murderina mom, who was a police dispatcher for the Lakewood, Colorado Police Department for over a decade. She passed on her love of true crime to me, along with her luxurious hair, both of which have greatly improved my life. And then there's this new like gumdrop emoji that's got a winky face. You know what I'm talking about? It's a gumdrop. Stay sexy and always slip cute guys your number when you're on a date with their boss, Heather from Atlanta.
Love it. Wow, that's amazing.
That's great advice. Go for it.
It also must be nice to hear a story about your parents and have that feeling like it was a fated thing.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't, she made the effort, but he was already excited about her. That's like such a sweet, exciting part of that story.
And the best part is they didn't have a bitter divorce and custody battle at the end. It's like nice.
Yes.
It's not as much of a meet cute when they end up fucking hating each other, mom and dad.
No, it's not. It kind of takes away from it a little bit. So the fact that they're now roaming the country in an RV is like, it's hotter than ever.
I bet they God hold bless. Hands when they drive.
While they drive?
That's not safe. I bet they hold hands.
You're going crazy. What's happening? Okay. The subject line is new house surprises, a treasure in the wall story.
Ooh.
Hello, all. Love the show. Love you. Love your pets. Now on to the story. My family moved into our current home last August. Moving across the province mid-pandemic and 8 months pregnant is not something I would ever recommend doing. Ugh. Thank you for the tip. Yeah. Now that spring has sprung, my husband has started with some house projects. Project one was some landscaping out front, namely moving some overgrown shrubs from directly beside the foundation. He had been outside for about an hour when he came in and asked, "Is it a Catholic thing to bury Jesus in your garden?"
I mean, is it? I don't fucking know. It's not. You're shaking your head. That sounds like anti-Jesus.
I think it's actually you're not supposed to do stuff.
It's
like
not the 12th commandment. Thou shalt bury Jesus in your mulch.
And hope a Jesus tree grows. No, that's not respectful of the icon of the J-man.
Got it.
And then in parentheses, it says, I was raised Roman Catholic. He was not. To which I replied, I'm sorry, what? He had found buried 1 foot down in a plastic bag wrapped in cloth, a tiny religious figure. I immediately asked if there was any blood on it.
Oh,
assuming that it was a murder weapon. He replied, no, but I also didn't touch it with my bare hands just in case.
Oh, murderinos.
In parentheses, it says, match made in heaven. I think so.
Yeah.
my best friend is way more Catholic than me. And then in parentheses, because there are levels. And she asked what the figure looked like. It was a man holding a child. She told me it was probably Saint Anthony and was buried because the previous owners lost something and wanted it returned.
Oh.
When I told my husband, his response was, quote, does it matter if it's glow in the dark?
What?
Because it was.
What?
And my friend responded, well, that's just hoodoo. Glowing Saint Anthony is now in our kitchen.
Yes.
I fucking love that.
They found the thing that the people who lost something.
They're like, where, please, Jesus, help us find our statuary. And then buried it. The very next day, our sump pump was acting up. So my husband was in the crawl space dealing with that. All of a sudden, he comes running upstairs saying, you thought the figurine was cool. I just found the best thing you could find hidden in a house. VHS porn. He found, tucked in the wall behind our sump, a VHS copy of Insatiable 2, along with the receipt from the purchase in 2001.
Ooh.
My husband's only regret is that we don't have a VHS player, and I told him it was not worth it to buy one to watch old porn. His second suggestion was the VHS player is at his parents' place.
No!
I also vetoed that idea. He is currently on the hunt for a digital copy. That is all. SSDGM Bailey.
Bailey. Hey, everyone, gather around. Look what we found.
Guys, we're going to have a VHS porn party.
Look what St. Jesus sent us or whatever.
Glowing St. Anthony.
It's like a retainer that a kid would get that glows in the dark. I had one. Why does the statue have to be glow in the dark?
Well, because Saint Anthony is the patron saint of lost items or impossible cases. Mm-hmm. So you pray to Saint Anthony, it's like your daughter's wedding day and you lost the keys to the car or whatever. then you stop and go, please, Saint Anthony, help us. So they must have lost something big and crazy to bury something in the yard. And also, I've never heard of burying anything as a part of the process.
But I just don't understand what the glow in the dark part comes in. Patron saint of raves?
yeah, because it's lost cause. I think it's to help you find things in the dark.
Ah, okay.
I think.
That's fun. Did they have glow in the dark in the patron saint age?
Yes. Glow in the dark was invented in 10 BC.
By fucking ancient aliens.
Who were making wallpaper.
Wow,
was
guys.
That the last one?
Yeah. Hey, but yes.
Did yours?
I started. But listen, if you want one more hometown each. We're doing fan cult hometowns now. If we've never read yours, you get we're only reading stories from the fan cult. So you get a better chance of us seeing those. You also get merch when you join, like special, and you get discounts on your merch. And, once we start fucking touring again, you get first dibs at tickets. So it's.
Oh, the benefits. They pile high and wide.
Videos and,
for just 22 cents a day, you too can have all of this and more.
It's actually way less than that, too. It's like $40 now, right? Not now. It's always been $40. So we're not, it's not a scam.
Stop accusing us of scamming you and stay sexy.
And don't get murdered. Goodbye.
Bye.
Elvis, do you want a cookie?